Okay, welcome. Congratulations for making it here. My name is Tanya Eliza. It's very nice to meet you. If we are meeting each other for the very first time, that's awesome. And I'm excited to learn more about you. If we have known each other for quite some time, that's cool too. I'm excited to put this series together and help a lot of home business entrepreneurs really take their businesses to the next level. I know when I learned a lot of the things that I'm going to be sharing in this audio today, there was a pivotal shift and change in my business. My closing percentages went up, my confidence went up, and I just want you to close your eyes, and I want you to just imagine something for me in your business. And maybe you have some really great results. You're just learning how to rev those up a little, or you're learning how to take some more training knowledge into your team to motivate them and inspire them as well. So wherever you are in your business, my goal is just to amplify where you're already at. And I want you to imagine really being able to talk to less people and get bigger results. That's the outcome of some of these things that I'm going to train on today. And imagine having the knowledge to help your team when they go through these kinds of struggles. These are some of the struggles that we all kind of go through, and it's our journey. And imagine having people look at you in a more professional way when you're out presenting your business, and having the confidence inside of you to do more of what makes you the money, our money-making activities in network marketing and in our home businesses. And imagine just waking up every day and just being absolutely fearless from now on forward in our business presentational format. So it's really cool. I mean, there's not a lot that we have to do in our home business that makes us money. In my opinion, there's really about four or five skill sets that we have to get really good at. You know, there is prospecting and adding new people to our list. There is inviting people to a presentation. There's the presentational skills. There's the collecting the decision or closing skills that we need to have. And then there's team building. And if we can get really good at every area there, we can have some very magical things happen in our business. And obviously, when we first get started in doing something brand new, there's a learning curve that we have to go through to get really good. We were never both just born out of the womb very good at network marketing, and I had to learn that for myself. But the things that I'm going to teach you in this audio were really responsible for helping me to take my closing averages to 7 out of 10 people that I present to joining our team. Now, that's very powerful. That's about a 70% closing ratio. When I first got started in network marketing, it was more like a 20% closing ratio. So you can imagine now I have to talk to far less people than I did before. And that was because I increased certain skill sets in my business, a lot of what you're going to learn here today. And I'll just give you a really brief background in case you may not know who I am already and you might not know my story, but this relates to a lot of people. So I love sharing it. It also gives you a story that you can go out there and share if you want to share my story as well to add credibility to the industry. Now, I basically went from college, basically high school first, then college, and then I went right into the working field. And I started out working in the restaurant industry, and then I realized that was too many late nights. So I decided to get what we would say a real job, right? And I started working as a finance specialist at a really young age. I was about 24 when I first started taking finance applications from people. And so I always had to act a lot more older than I really was so people would actually take me seriously. And what I found is that I got caught in a trap. And I don't know if any of you guys have been there, but I got caught working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and on the seventh day I had to be on call. So I really didn't have a lot of time freedom at all. I was making a bunch of money. I did very well financially, but I did not have time freedom. And I was exposed to network marketing by a very good girlfriend of mine. That's what I saw when I saw the business model. I didn't see the income. I actually saw the time freedom. And so when I actually got hold of the model, I was really excited about it. Now, I also want to just confess that I didn't do anything with my business seriously for about the first year and a half. And it wasn't until in 2010, my dad had actually passed away very suddenly by having, unfortunately, a stroke. And we were very close with my dad, and my mom was very close with him. They were like best friends. And so I had to take a bunch of time off work to go and hang out with my family. And in that about a month that I was spending the time with my family, family, I obviously wasn't working my finance job, so I wasn't making any money. But what I realized is that I had a small residual paycheck that was coming in from my network marketing company that I wasn't taking too seriously. So at that point in time, I realized the power of residual income, not having to work and trade time for dollars and the income still coming in. So it was at that point, I kind of had my aha moment and I drew the line in the sand and I said, I need to start taking this industry seriously. And I really got serious at that point in my personal development and my education to learn how to become a professional in our industry. And I think when I first started in network marketing, if somebody said I had to learn some pivotal life-changing skills to get really good at what we do, I may have started a little earlier in learning what these skills were, but nobody really told me what to do. They just said, make a list and talk to people and, you know, it'll just kind of happen. It'll fall into place. Well, we all know we need to have certain skills if we're going to get really good at something, right? So since learning some of these unique skills that I'm going to share with you in this audio and actually implementing them, it's one thing to learn, right? It's another thing to implement in my home business. I've been able to do some really magical things, and I don't like to brag or anything like that, but I really like to inspire people. I've been able to personally enroll hundreds of personal teammates into our business. We win almost every single trip incentive contest that our company puts on. I drive a fully paid for nice luxury car. I speak on stages all across the country because people want to know how to do it, right? How to increase skill set. And because we've invested in ourselves to really learn some of these things, a lot of people want to know what we know. So congratulations on investing into this audio, because you can listen to it over and over again. You can put it in your car, you can put it on your phone, at the gym, and put it in if you ever need a pick-me-up as far as learning goes. This is going to be an audio that you are going to listen to over and over, and I encourage that you do, because it was the only way that I learned how to get really good at what I do. I actually took my learning very seriously. I would learn how to say things and then I would practice them in front of the mirror. I would record myself on my phone pretending like I was making dials and calls and invitations and presentations, and I would record them and then I would listen to them back and I would re-record and I would do it again. I've taken this very seriously, and with this training here, I really, really encourage you to do the same. Now, there's one thing that I'm going to tell you before we get into the nuts and bolts on handling your prospects' objections. And if you don't have a really strong why, and you hear this all the time from our leadership, every time we're at a team meeting, every time we're going through our Fast Start training, they say, develop a why. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have a strong why driving you, then nothing of the how-to nuts and bolts will ever matter in your business. Now, this isn't a training on developing your why, so I encourage you to go out and do that. Work with your upline leadership to develop a strong why, because that's what's going to drive you to get through some of these tough days that we might have to get through in our business. Your why is also going to help you with what I like to call posture. And we're going to talk a lot about posture, because I believe posture is the answer to everything in network marketing, and I'll actually teach you why I believe that is. Why don't we start with right now, right? Posture is something you have to have, otherwise people will not take you seriously. When I started network marketing, I was about 26, 27 years old, and I was really young at the time. I've been in for quite some time now. I'm not going to date myself, but I had to act a little bit more serious for people to take my business seriously. We want people to take our business seriously, right? So we have to take it seriously ourselves, because the energy that we put into our business is going to be the energy that comes out of it. So if we're putting in a kind of slack or energy into our business, that's the energy that our prospects are going to give us back. Have you ever noticed you go into a presentation and you aren't really taking it that seriously? Like, oh, if they sign up, it would be awesome. That's good if they, you know, no. And then they're basically going to say, well, you know, it's not for me today, or they're not going to take it seriously, right? Because they're not going to see that you are committed and you are serious. We're going to talk a lot about having posture when we go into some of these objection handling strategies and techniques. But if you are having trouble inviting people to a presentation, or if you're having trouble getting people to commit to show up to a presentation, or you're having trouble collecting a decision after the presentation, I can almost bet 100% of the time it has everything to do with your energy and your posture. And you never want to let your prospect steal your marketing process away from you. You want to follow follow it because that's what gives you the results. And if you lack posture, your prospects are going to walk all over you. Now, when I started in my business, I was a very timid network marketer. I was basically shy. Or if anybody knows me now and they would hear me say that I'm shy, they would never believe it. They would say, oh my gosh, Tanya, she's not shy at all. This girl is postured as heck. She doesn't let anyone take her place when it comes to prospecting and closing. But when I first got started, I was very shy. So I had to learn how to become postured and how to take control of my marketing process. And that was also in the process of collecting the decision, right? And handling those objections or silly questions that your prospects might be giving you. And so we're going to talk a lot about posture, and we're going to make sure you hold posture. And I'll show you some examples in some of these scripts that I'm going to share with you. And also, when you're going into learning how to handle these objections with me here today in this audio, you also have to remember that we are looking for people that are looking for success, okay? And our job is not to convince our people, but to share the vision that we have with them and to help them understand what we have clearly, okay? So our goal is not to convince people. So we're not going to go into a bunch of, you know, blundering objection handling strategies to like pump somebody into our business, because that's not what we want either. We have to remember that we're also looking for people who are looking for success. And in my objection handling strategies, I'm very straightforward, and the strategies that I teach, they really work, and I like to have fun with the process, right? I'm never too serious with it, because if I'm serious with it, you know, my prospects aren't going to feel that fun, loving energy that we want them to feel, and that's what this industry is all about. It's not about being the best salesperson or being the best closer. It's about really having something that we can help people with, and I truly believe, like Eric Worre says, we have a better way, and I know because I used to work the other way and I now work this way, and I haven't had to punch a clock since 2010 in my business, which is really, really awesome. And so we want to show people how simple and fun and easy it is by maintaining that energy. We're postured, yes, and we've got a clear posture energy, but we're also fun, okay? And we have to emulate that as well. So we never really want to be pushy or salesy with anyone, because also too, what that does is it gives our profession a bad name, and that's something we never want to do, right? There's a lot of people out there that have a negative connotation towards network marketing for some sort of a good reason. It was because they might not have been approached or presented to properly, and somebody gave them a bad name to our industry by doing that. So as a professional in this industry listening to this audio right now, I want you to make a commitment to always have our profession, even though we might be in different teams, different companies, doesn't matter. Our profession is a very awesome profession. So let's give it that awesome reputation in the industry that it deserves, and making sure that we do this properly with our people, because if we don't, they're going to keep those negative connotations towards the industry, which we do not want. So let's get into it. I want to first talk about what objections are, okay? And I coach a lot of people in my team all the time on a one-on-one basis, on a group basis. I also coach a lot of people in many different other network marketing companies and other teams as well. People that come to me and they have questions and they want to know things on how we've been doing things. So I have a lot of experience in coaching in this area. And I also am in the trenches every day, which is good to know as well. And I'm actually using these objection handling strategies even in my own business on my daily calls. And this is why I know that they work so well. And it's a good idea to really know what objections are, first of all. Because if we know what they are, we know how to tackle them. And a lot of people think that objections are a way for our prospect just being kind of negative to us. And that's not really a good way to look at it. Objections are very simply just unanswered questions most of the time. And you have to understand that when you're getting objections or weird or silly questions, you know, I probably almost heard them all in my business, it's because your prospect is feeling in some way or another that they can't do what you're doing, or they're unsure if they're going to have success, right? Now, our goal as the marketing rep is to help them understand that they can do this. This is an easy process. We have to look as duplicatable as possible. And we'll talk more about that. But just know that when you're getting objections or weird or silly questions, it's most often that they're unsure if they can do what you're doing. So if we know that, we know how to get rid of that objection. It basically just by, you know, reassuring them that they can do it. And also when we go into our presentation, we're making sure that it's very duplicatable. Now, I don't know what your presentation format is, but I'm sure if you're following a good system that is reputable and has success, there it is very duplicatable, meaning anybody can do it, right? And so, for example, our process for presenting is we generally have a 14-minute video that we show. Some companies have flip charts or, you know, live presentations. It doesn't matter really, but so long as it's duplicatable. And by showing somebody a video or taking somebody to a meeting, that's generally easy enough for everyone to do, right? But if you're doing weird, complicated stuff, if you're trying to tell them all about the company verbatim, word for word, they're looking at you going, I can't do that, right? And when they're looking at you and saying, I can't do that, or that looks too complicated, or oh my gosh, I don't know if I'd be able to do that, or I don't know if I'd be able to have success. If we conjure up any of those feelings or ideas in our prospect's mind, we are going to get objections and questions. Now, I promise you, the better you get at the setup, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the setup so we can anticipate and eliminate these objections even before they come up. How cool would it be if we knew exactly what to do to pretty much overcome every objection before it even ever comes up? That would be pretty cool, right? So I'm going to give you some ways that we can do that, and it's all about the setup, but just know, be as duplicatable as possible. Say less, listen more, let your tools do all of the presenting and explaining for you. That way, when they see what you're doing, they can go, oh, that looks easy enough, and you're going to have less objections and less of those silly, ridiculous questions that we sometimes encounter. Are we going to be able to eliminate objections completely? Absolutely not. We're going to still get questions. We're going to still get objections. And that's why I'm going to teach you some really cool ways to handle and go through those. And by the end of this too, you are going to have so much confidence going forward in your business. Every time I train on this, I get so many people on my Facebook page and they just love what they hear. Now, if there's anything that I don't cover, I want you to know that you're more than welcome to hit up my Facebook page, and that's at facebook.com/ Tanya Eliza, T-A-N-Y-A. A-L-I-Z-A. And you can hit me up with a comment on my page or send me a message if there's an objection maybe that you're getting or a question that you can't get through and you need some help on that. I'm more than willing to take the time to help you if I don't cover something inside of this training here. And don't attract your objections, okay? So funny, because I say that to people. I'll say, if you need me to help you with anything, send me an email or hop on my Facebook page. And I've done webinars where I've done this training and people will send me questions that they're not even getting yet from their prospects. And they will say, well, what if my prospect says this? And what if this? And what if that? And they haven't actually gotten these questions or objections. They're just thinking that they might get them. And it's hindering their ability to go out and produce, which basically what is going to happen as a byproduct of that is if you think that you're going to get objections, then you will. If you think that you won't, there's a good chance that you won't. So don't sabotage your success and attract your objections by thinking that you're going to get objections that you haven't even gotten yet. Okay, I'm sure everyone's guilty of that. Oh man, I don't want them to say this. That guy doesn't have the money. And if I go to them, I know immediately they're going to say to me, Tanya, it looks good, but I don't have the money to get started. If you think that they won't have the money, you're going to attract that. Okay. Don't prejudge and don't attract your objections. Okay. I want you to go into every presentation with the mindset and with the affirmation that you repeat over and over in your mind. I'm so happy and grateful that Tanya joined my team immediately after seeing the video and is so excited to work with me. I am so excited. I'm so grateful. I'm so happy and grateful. That's the kind of stuff that you want to be attracting. So that's what we have to have go through our mind even before we go through a presentation. It's a little side note trick right there, but it's going to help you a lot. So before we get into the actual nitty-gritty, okay, I want to help you anticipate and eliminate a lot of your objections before they even come up. How would you like to learn how to do that? When I teach this stuff, people go crazy and the response and testimonials are phenomenal. So just think about it this. Just think about it this way. If we can anticipate and eliminate our objections before they come up, man, oh man, is our life easier, right? Because then we don't have to handle any objections. We just go on with our process, right? So what I want you to do is just think about about how you set up your prospect before they get onto a presentation, before you show them the opportunity, your video, whatever it is that you're sharing. What are you doing before that happens? Okay. Are you sharing with them your vision? Okay. This is big. I train on vision a lot because everyone that speaks to me or I speak to them about my business, they know that I have a very big vision. I've got large goals, and then I encourage them to be a part of my bigger vision. The problem is in the world is not a lot of people have vision, let alone big vision. They don't even have vision because we're not taught in school to have vision. We're taught in school to become an employee for somebody else. So I encourage you to create a vision. What do you want your team to look like in the next 5 years? What do you want your life to look like in the next 5 years? What do you want your family activities to be like in the next 5 years? What do you want to be? What do you want your inspiration to others to be in the next 5 years? You know, you have to have a vision, and I would encourage that you share with them your vision so that they understand why the heck are they watching this business presentation. It's not just because it's a business presentation. It's because it's the vehicle as to be a part of your vision, all right? I want you to ask yourself before you take a prospect into a presentation, can they feel your passion? Okay. A lot of trainers and, you know, when you get started in network marketing, they tell you to get excited. I don't tell people to get excited. I tell people to have passion because I believe that there's a difference between passion and excitement. And I believe passion trumps excitement. Anybody can go out there and be ignorance on fire and oh, I'm excited about this. Ah. I believe that passion is much stronger and better received than excitement. Okay. So can they feel your passion? Meaning, are you really in love with what you're doing? And I hope you are. I hope you're in a company where you're very excited with the people you work with, the team you're with. I hope that all is in line for you. And if it is, you should have a level of passion towards it that you can exude when you're sharing your vision with your prospect. You're sharing your why. Another word for vision could be why, but vision goes a little bit deeper, I think. So they've got to understand why you're doing this. Why are you showing them this? All right. And if you share with them on a vulnerable level why you are doing this and some of your goals and your vision, you are going to have somebody take a look at the presentation in a different light. Okay. You're going to have less silly objections, questions that come up because they have shared your vision and passion with you and why with you. Another thing that you have to ask yourself when you go into the presentation, before the presentation, ask yourself if your prospect is convinced that you're about to do something big, okay? If you are acting small time, they will feel that, and nobody wants to be a part of something small, right? We all want to be a part of something big. I remember when I first got prospected into my first network marketing company, and the people that did the presentation for me, they looked me dead in the eye and they said, Tanya, we are about to show this idea to thousands of people. We wanted you to be one of the first because we are about to go very big with this and we wanted you to be a part of what we are doing. Now, they looked me in the eye and said that. I said, oh, damn, these people are about to do something big and I don't want to be left on the sidelines, right? So how do you think I went into looking at that presentation? Was I going to give them many silly objections or questions, or was I just convinced that these guys are going somewhere big and I might want to be tagging along with them, right? Another thing that you want to ask in your setup is, are you using a takeaway? All right. Now, I don't know if you know what a takeaway is, but I'll explain a takeaway to you. A takeaway holds your posture and it basically tells your prospect, I am blessing you with showing you this. And I do not need you, but I would love for you to join us, okay? A lot of people in network marketing go into a presentation and they have a very needy energy, okay? Very needy, which means like, I need you to join my business. If we exude the needy energy, our prospect is going to walk all over us with a whole bunch of objections and questions, and we've completely lost our posture. So how I add a takeaway to my setup is I tell them, I say, look, I'm about to do something very big with this, and I'm about to show this to thousands of people over the next couple of years. I have 400 people's names and numbers sitting in front of me right now, and I wanted you to be one of the very first people I share this idea with because I'm about to go big with it, and I'd love for you to be a part of it with me. Now, you might understand the concept and idea right away, and it might totally resonate with you right away, just like it did with me, but it might not also resonate with you, and that's okay too. I just wanted you to be one of the first people that I show this concept to. before I go out and do something big with it. So do you see how I gave them kind of an out? I was like, hey, you might see this, but you might not, and that's okay too. And what that does is it takes all pressure off of the table, but it also shows them, hey, you're serious and I'm not needed. Oh my gosh, I'm selected, not needed. Okay, so it holds your posture. So in your setup, if you're taking notes or anything, I would suggest that you write this down. Sharing your vision or your why with them before they watch the presentation. Make sure they feel your passion and make sure that they are convinced that you're about to do something big, and make sure that you use a takeaway. Kind of give them an out, right? Those are the four things that I sort of make sure in place before my prospect watches a presentation or is exposed to the presentation. That sets them up for success inside of the presentation. And it makes my job so much easier when it comes to handling or not handling the objections or questions that may or may not come up. Okay, so make sure that's in place. They're going to look at the presentation in a different light and they will take it more seriously if you've set them up right. And so even though I know that those aren't handling objections, they are handling objections because they're handling them before they even come up. Okay, and it's gonna put them in a different frame of mind. So this go into one of my favorite objections to talk about, and I know this helps a lot of people when I talk about it, is the I don't have the money objection. Okay, I'm sure that there's a lot of us, including me, still to this day, even though we've gotten very good at what we do, we still have people that say, this looks awesome, I wish I had the money, I don't have the money right now. Okay, you will never eliminate this objection completely, but you will now, after this training, know exactly how to handle it perfectly. Okay. And this will also set you up to also help a lot of people, because we know the people that tell us they don't have the money, those are the people that need this most, don't they? So it might be legitimate that they don't have the money, but it also might not be legitimate. So the first thing that you want to do when somebody says, you know, hey, this looks really good, but I don't have the money. The first thing that you want to do before anything else is you want to qualify the objection first and make sure it's real before spending any more time handling it and taking your prospect to the next step. So what do I mean by qualifying the objection? Just make sure it's real. And so what I say to my prospects is I say, hey, Joe, I appreciate you sharing that with me. You know, in my opinion, $365 is not a lot of money to start a business and to have the financial ability that this can actually provide. So I want to say thank you for sharing that with me. I also want to just make sure that we're on the same page. Okay, I use that a lot when I'm talking to my prospects. I say, hey, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Is it really that you don't have the money in your bank account, or do you just not see an opportunity with this? Okay, because you won't hurt my feelings if you just don't see an opportunity. I just want to make sure that if you really want to do this and you're just saying I don't have the money because you don't have the money, I can help figure that out with you. But I just want to make sure that you truly, genuinely see an opportunity here. It's just a little bit of money issue. So Joe, is it the money or do you just not see an opportunity? Okay, so that's kind of how I do it. I say I want to make sure we're on the same page and I qualify it. Now, what you're looking for there is, no, Tanya, I'm serious. I love this. I see an opportunity. I just really don't have the money. Okay, now if they tell you, no, I don't see an opportunity, I go, okay, great. Thank you for being honest and sharing that with me. By the way, Joe, do you know anybody? Do you happen to know anybody that wants to make some extra money from home? Okay, or if you're going product wise that, you know, could use my product, right? And then possibly get a referral. Okay, do not try to convince somebody if they just don't see an opportunity for themselves. They either see it or they don't, and then we move on. Okay, that's why I always use that line. Do you see an opportunity for yourself? Okay, so you want to qualify it. And now that, say, for example, they say, Tanya, I really want to do this. I really don't have the money. Okay, whatever it is, costs to get started in your business, you know, 300, 500, 350, whatever. What I'll say is I'll say, okay, Joe, here's the deal. How much money do you have in your bank account? Exactly. How far are we off? Okay. Now let's say it's $500 to get started in your business. And they say, Tanya, I have $492.63. Now, if somebody says that to the penny, you know they really are seriously, you know, saying they don't have the money, because people who have that low of money in their bank account, they know exactly to the penny how much they really have. And in that case, I know they're telling me the truth. And I go, okay, cool. Now, what are some creative ways that we can come up with that money? OK, Okay. And I'll tell them, I'll say, grab a pen, grab a paper, let's jot some things down. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you get creative with that. So we never have to worry about this issue ever again. You know, if we really work together on this and we make a go of it, there's not going to be a day where $500 is ever going to be an issue to make a life-changing decision. Okay. And I really want that for you, Joe. So let's take a piece of paper out. What are 10 ways that we can write down right now where we can get creative in how we can get up with that money? Okay. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that can get creative. And sometimes I'll share a story. You know, I have a girl on my team now who actually put herself up on Craigslist as far as doing house cleaning and yard work to come up with money. And she was able to come up with the money in less than 5 days. So I'll share that story. I'll say, hey, Joe, I have a girl on my team right now. She was in the same position that you're in. And she really wanted to do this. And some of her creative ways of coming up with the money is she went on Craigslist, she sold a couple things, she did some services, she did house cleaning, she did yard work. Are those some of the things that you could probably do? Do you have anything that we can sell that you don't need right now? When's your next payday? And some people, they'll come up with some ideas, and I'll help them come up with some ideas, okay? Once you have 10 ideas written down, then what you wanna do is you wanna say, hey, Joe, how soon do you think that we can have all this money raised? How soon do you think that we can have this money raised? Do you think we can have it done in the next couple of days? You know, because I'm going big with this and I don't want you to miss out on a lot of the work that we're going to be doing and training we're going to be doing together. And I want to help you get started as fast as possible. And I'm also looking for leaders. So how soon do you think that we can get this creative money accumulation in place? All right. And I'll work with them on that. So just remember the how soon, okay? How soon line. How soon do you think that you can come up with that money? And then they'll tell you. You want them to give you a date and time, okay? You want to schedule the next time that you're going to be talking to them. You can say, okay, you know, Joe, you get paid on Friday. Awesome. What time are you off work? And we can spend 20 minutes rock and rolling and getting you started. Let's set a time, okay? Awesome. 3 o'clock on Friday. I'm going to call you. I'll assume that you'll be in front of your computer. We can get you started. Or I'm going to come over to your house. We're going to get you started, whatever it is. Okay. So a lot of people don't go to that extent. They kind of let their prospect walk all over them. Somebody says, I don't have the money. And they're like, oh, that's too bad. That sucks, you know? And then they leave the person. When you could have an ace on your team because they are so strapped for money that they're sick and tired about being strapped for money, that they want to do something about it. We need to help them. And that's the place that I come from with my people is I really, if they really want it bad, I will take 2 steps every time they take one. Okay. And I let them know, I say, look, I'm willing to work with you and help you with this. And if my prospect actually feels that, they will be very excited to get started with me because they are going to feel that. And same from you. They're going to feel that you're really there to help them. Okay. So once you have that date and time, confirm it. And this is what I say. I say, okay, Joe, I assume that you're great at keeping your appointment time and you're really punctual. I'm really busy. I've got a lot of things going on, but I'm going to carve out 3 o'clock on Friday for you. And we're going to spend some time. Now, I want you to do me a favor, Joe, is if for some reason or another, you're able to really rev this up and you're able to get the money before Friday at 3, I want you to call me immediately and we'll get you started. I'll throw that in there as well. Okay, why wait till Friday if Joe gets the money on Tuesday, right? So I'll say, I'm going to leave the ball in your court and I'm looking for leaders. I know leaders will always find a way. If you come up with the money magically before Friday, we're going to set Friday as the goal date. But if you come up with the money before Friday, awesome. I want to high five you even sooner and welcome you in and help you rock and roll this thing with me, okay? So I'm going to give you my number. Call me if you need me. Otherwise, if I don't hear from you, we'll meet at 3 o'clock on Friday. Okay. And that is how I handle the no money objection. Every time it's the same. It doesn't matter who I'm dealing with. And remember, qualify it, make sure it's real. If it is real and they really see an opportunity, ask them how far they're off, ask them ways that they can come up with the money, help them with creative ways, schedule a time and date for them to get started inside of the team with you. And then let them know if they come up with the money before that time, to give you a call immediately so you can help them. Now, depending on the structure of your team and how you guys are building, you might be able to throw some urgency marks in there as well, okay? But I'm gonna leave that up to you and your sponsor to talk about. So let's talk about the next objection that people always have trouble with, and I did too when I first got started. Do you ever have anybody that says, looks great, but this really isn't for me, right? I used to get stumped on that one. They would say, this isn't really for me. And I'd be like, what do you, I'm tongue-tied. Like, there's this great opportunity sitting in front of you. Why don't you see it like me? You just kind of want to shake the person, but really you can't, right? So how do we handle this? Somebody sees the presentation and, you know, I always say to my people right when they're done the video or the presentation, I'll say, awesome, right? And then I'll say, great, what did you like best about what you saw? And so because I'm asking them what they liked best, they're going to tell me what they like best. And then what I say after that is I say, do you see an opportunity for yourself? And then I'll say, do you see an opportunity for yourself with the product and becoming a member or a customer and becoming a rep or just becoming a customer? And so then it'll gauge you which they're looking at and you can kind of go down the road of what they want rather than what you want, which always works better. And sometimes I'll get to the point where, you know, it, and my team will get to the point where you say, hey, do you see an opportunity for yourself? And they say, looks good, but this really isn't for me. Well, how do we handle that? Well, here's what I say. I say, interesting. Well, maybe it isn't for you, but how do you mean exactly? Okay. So I just say, interesting. Like I act kind of shocked because I'm assuming everyone is going to love it as much as me. And if I go into the presentation that way, you know, and it goes another way, it's shocking, right? I'm like, oh, really? You know, and I kind of let them know that. So then they kind of feel a little bit like, whoa, most people say otherwise, right? So I say, interesting. And I say, maybe it actually isn't for you. Okay, so I agree with them, right? And so I'm not rebuttaling them. I'm not arguing with them. I'm making them feel comfortable. And I'm also using another takeaway. Okay, so I'll say, interesting. Maybe it really isn't for you. But how do you mean exactly? Okay, and then I listen to what they say. By asking this question, okay, you're going to uncover the real reason it's not for them and you can go from there. Because really when somebody just says this isn't for me, isn't that very vague, right? And so when it's too vague, we don't really know the real reason on why it's not for them. They might have another underlying reason that we could help them with. Maybe maybe in their mind they're saying, I'd really love to do this, but I don't have the money. Therefore, I'm going to say this isn't really for me. And then if we find out why it's not for them and they say, well, you know, I just don't have the money. We can then go into handling the real objection and saying, well, do you see an opportunity for yourself? Number one, forget about the money. Do you see this as an opportunity for yourself? We can deal with those things later. That's irrelevant. But do you see an opportunity for yourself? Then you can go down that road. But if you don't open up that can of worms, you will never know if you can really help that person. So ask them, how do you mean exactly, right? Interesting. Maybe it really isn't for you. But can you do me a favor? How do you mean by that exactly? Okay, so we want to uncover the real reason. And sometimes it's the way we are presenting or showing the business or product, right? If you're showing the business in a very non-duplicatable way, they might be thinking in their mind, I don't want to do this because it looks hard or it looks like something I can't do or I don't think I'll be successful. So I'm just going to say this isn't for me. Right? Maybe they see value in one of the ways we're pushing this, and maybe we're pushing the wrong one. So what do I mean by that? We have the business side of our company, and then we've got the product side. Well, maybe we're pushing too much the business side, and maybe they really just like the product, or vice versa. So if we ask them, you know, they'll be able to tell us, and we'll be able to tweak what we do. And that's why after I show the full plan, okay, and I never show just one or the other, guys, just so you know, I show the full plan. I show the business and I show the product. It's all in one video that we have. I'll always say, what did you like best? And then they're going to tell me what they like best. I'm going to listen and they're going to tell me whether they liked, you know, they'll talk about the product a lot if they really like the product, or they'll talk about the money a lot or if they really like the money. So I'm listening by asking that question to really find out where they like best so I can kind of move with them in what they like. I'm not trying to persuade people to my way of thinking. My way of thinking or my likes and desires are completely irrelevant to my prospects. It's all about them at that point. So what did you like best, right? And then sometimes you are going to just get somebody who just says, this isn't for me. I don't want to do this. I don't like this. Fine. But I always like to just see if there's an in. And I just say, yeah, maybe you're right. It's totally probably not for you. You know, if somebody just keeps saying it's not for me, I'll just say, no worries. I really want to thank you for your time. You're right. This probably is not for you. And then I'll ask for a referral. Okay. And then what I also will do is I'll take it one step further and I'll say, look, do you mind if I keep you in the loop? You know, our team's doing some big things over the next, you know, year or two. You mind if I just keep you in the loop? And then I'll maybe follow up with them on another call 30 days from now and say, hey, look what our team did. And I'll like, you know, brag on a couple of things that I've been able to do. Or, you know, if you have a car bonus, we've been able to get our car bonus. You said I could keep you in the loop. I know you said it wasn't for you 30 days ago, but, you know, maybe it is for you now. I'm wondering if you want to take a second look. Our company made a few changes and enhancements, whatever it is, right? So I'll ask, do you mind if I keep you in the loop? And then write them down as a person to follow up with in the next 30 days, all right? So that's exactly how I handle somebody if they say, looks good, but this isn't for me. I'll dig a little bit, right? And I'll say, you're probably right, you know, but I'll never say, oh, it is for you, it's for everybody. I'm never in argument state, you know? I wanna give this profession a very good name. Okay, so what about the objection or question that somebody might give you after a presentation that says, I wanna think about it, or I want to do my research. We love those ones, right? Anybody else except for me get that, right? You know, it's probably a good idea to understand why you're getting this objection in the first place. And generally and typically, it's because maybe you lack some credibility with the person that you're presenting to, or they just have some unanswered questions, all right? And generally when somebody gives you a, I want to think about it or do my research, they're a green personality type. I'm actually a green personality type. A lot of people wouldn't guess that. And what a green personality type is just somebody who needs a lot of facts and information before we make a buying decision. We're like your spreadsheet people. We need to see all the technical stuff of everything. And there's nothing wrong with those types of people because they can really come on your team and be a very big producer. It's just we're a little bit more high maintenance, okay? And it's important to understand how to deal with these people to help them to make a buying decision with you and bring on some really good people on your team. So it might be that you lack credibility. You might not be a green and they are a green. So your personalities aren't in line. But there's two things that you can do, okay? The first thing that you can do when you get the person that says, I want to think about it or I want to do my research, is you want to, number one, what you can do is you can eliminate the objection before it even comes up in your setup, okay? So you can add one more thing to your setup that actually should be added to just to kind of anticipate and eliminate, but you can actually share with them when you're sharing your why, you can share with your prospect something like, I've been searching and searching and doing a bunch of research on something that I could confidently put my name to that would, and then insert your why. That would help my family create some more time freedom. You know, I work at the office. I'm very successful financially over at the office. And I'm time poor. And I really wanted to find something that could help my family spend more quality time together. And I've been searching and searching. And I've been doing a bunch of research on something that I could confidently put my name to that would allow this to happen. Okay, so you could anticipate and eliminate that, and you'll really trigger somebody because basically now you're putting their mind at ease and basically saying, hey, I've done all of the research already, so you don't need to go and do it. So it might eliminate the objection from coming up in the beginning. Okay, if you know if you're dealing with somebody that's very analytical, this would be a good thing to add. And sometimes you don't know if you're dealing with somebody analytical or not. You could still even add that, even if you were. So, you know, insert your why after you say, hey, I've been searching and searching, doing a bunch of research on something that I could confidently put my name to that would help me stay at home with the kids more, help me cut back some hours at work. They're killing me over there. Allow me to take a few more vacations with my family. Allow me to live a better quality of life, whatever it is for you, whatever your why is. Now, what if you get it even after that? Even if you do that and then you show the presentation and you still get that somebody who says, I want to do my research, and you're just like, you want to pull your hair out when somebody says that to you, right? Even me, I do, right? This is what I say, okay? And it works pretty good every single time. I just say, okay, cool. You know, I don't get many people that tell me that they need to go do their research after that video, but I'd love to help you with that. Would you mind sharing with me what you feel you need more information on exactly? Okay. So I put their mind at ease and I just say, awesome, cool. You know, I was actually one of those people too that needed to, you know a little bit more. And I share that with them. I just say, hey, you know, I don't actually get many people that tell me they need to do more research after that video. So it kind of puts them in a category of, oh, I'm, you know, kind of, this doesn't normally happen. Okay. And then I say, but I'd love to help you with that. Right. So I'm just, you know, I'm helping. I'm adding that extra help. Would you mind sharing with me what you feel you need more information on exactly? Because we don't know, right? They're saying, we need more information. I need to go do my research. What do we want them doing? Going home and Googling us? and getting information from all uncredible resources? Absolutely not. I want the information that they want to do their research on coming from me or the company. And I'm going to point them to the tools that can give them the information. However, I don't know what information they want exactly, so I have to ask them, right? So that's cool. No big deal. I can get you, can help you with that. What information do you think you need more information on? More exactly, you know? And then they might say, you know, I need some more information on the comp plan. I need to know how to make money, okay? And so, you know, I would just say, okay, cool. More information on how the money works. Anything else? And I'll ask them. I want to know every bit of information they think they need to make a decision because I want to give that to them. So I want to ask them all of what they think they need to know. Okay, let's say they say I need more information on how the comp plan works. Cool. More information on how the money works. Awesome. Anything else? So I'll say. And then they might say, well, how much time would I need to spend on this? Right? And then I say, okay, awesome. So we need more information on the money and the time you need to spend on this. And is there anything else? And then I'll ask them. I won't answer every bit. I'll almost collect what they want. Okay. I'm just collecting anything else. Okay, great. And get some more information on that. Awesome. And I'll make a little list of the information that they still feel they need to have before making a decision. Okay. Right there. I'll just say, okay, great. Anything else? And then I'll say, so I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. Okay. If I can get you more information on all these things here that you want more information on, and you're happy with the information that I get you, do you see an opportunity for yourself here? Right? Because why would I go and answer and provide information on all the things that they want if they don't see an opportunity for themselves? Right? Why would I go play cat and mouse and chase the mouse when the mouse doesn't even really want to eat the cheese? Right? I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to say, basically, I can get you all the information that you want here. Not a big deal. But I want to make sure before I go and do that, do you even see an opportunity for yourself? Would there be anything else that you need to know before we get you started after I get you this information that you want? Now we're saying to them, great, we'll go to work for you, but you got to be ready to get to work if we get you this information. You see how that works? So I used to play cat and mouse. I used to go, oh, we can get you that. Okay, here. Now what about, and now you don't have a definitive time frame of when they're going to join. They're just going to keep telling you they need more information and you're just going to play cat and mouse all the time. So find out exactly everything they need to know, more information on, get them that information. You could put them on the phone with your upline, do a three-way call, or if you've got some documents you can share with them, and then just say, hey, I'm going to get you this information. Okay, awesome. You see an opportunity for yourself. I'm going to get you this information. I might put you on the phone with one of my business partners. And, you know, once we get you the information and you're happy with it, we'll be excited to, you know, rock and roll with you and put you part of our team. And I'll plant that seed. So they know if I'm running around getting information for them, they're ready to join when we get that information and they're happy with it. Okay. So never allow your prospect to take your posture away and go do their research somewhere else. You want to be the one that gets them their information, either by way of an upline, three-way call or whatever, or maybe you've got some documents you can share, but you also want your prospect to know that you're going to get them the information. And once you do and they're happy with it, they better be ready to join the team because you're not running around for everything, right? For nothing. How's that? Good. So let me see how you do first. Or how much money are you making, right? Do you get that? I used to get that back in the day, and it was just because I lacked credibility or something. I don't know. But if you get the objection or question, I want to see how you do first, or how much money are you making? This is going to help you a lot. The reason why you're getting this is typically just lack of credibility that you might have with your prospect or posture. Or they don't believe that they can do it. That's actually a bigger one, is they don't believe that they can do it. So they're waiting to see if you can do it first, and then maybe they could do it, right? So this is what I say. If somebody says, hey, I'm going to, you know, this looks good, but I'm going to wait to see how you do first. I'll say, how do you mean? Are you saying this because you're not confident that I'm going to do something big with this? And I'll joke around and I'll laugh a little bit, you know? And I'll say, how do you mean exactly? Are you saying this because you're not confident that I'm going to do something big with this? Right? And let them answer that, okay? Because it's kind of going to be weird for your prospect to say, no, I don't think you're going to do something big with this, because that would be basically them admitting verbally that you're going to fail, and that would be rude of them to do, right? So I mean, you know, be real with it, you know, have some fun. I'll say, how do you mean? And they'll tell me, they'll say, no, and they'll kind of backtrack a little bit with that. And then I'll say this, I'll say, you know, hey, Joe, you know, I'm going to level with you here. Let's forget me for a minute, okay? From everything you just saw in this video presentation or whatever it is that you show them, let's just level with each other for a minute. Do you actually see an opportunity here for yourself? Forget about me. Okay. And if they say yes, then you move forward. If they say no, you do not move forward. Okay. If they say no, just say, hey, Joe, appreciate your honesty. I am about to do something big with this. I wanted you to be one of the first to see it, but I appreciate you being honest with me and telling me you do not see an opportunity here for yourself. That's fine. Do you mind if I keep you in the loop? Mind if I keep you posted? You know, do you know anybody that does want to make any extra income? Okay, if that's a no. But then say they say, yeah, you know, I kind of see an opportunity for myself. Okay, great. I'll say this. I'll say, because here's the truth, Joe. Okay, I'm going to take this deal, and this is where you insert your why, okay? I'm going to take this deal, and I'm going to create some time freedom for my wife and I, my family and I, whatever, okay? Whatever your why is, insert it there. I'm going to take this deal, and then you want to insert your why. And while I'm doing that, I'd love to work with you rather than ahead of you, okay? And I don't want you to miss out and have me achieve my goals without achieving yours with you at the same time. Okay, this is where you level with your prospect a little bit. It shows your genuinity, if you would. Okay, and I do this a lot with my people. I just say, you know, here's the truth. Let me level with you. You know, here's how it works. Here's how I am. I'm pretty honest. I'm blunt. I'm candor, right? I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to create a world of financial freedom and time freedom for my family, right? So we never have to worry about if we can go on our next vacation, if we can see the world before we die. And while I'm doing that, I'd love to work with you rather than ahead of you. Okay. And I don't want you to miss out on me having achieved my goals without achieving yours with you at the same time. And it's a lot easier to do it together before I'm very successful and ahead of you. Okay. So what do you need to see come out of this to make it worth your time? You always want to ask a question, by the way. So I'll say, so what do you need to see come out of this to make it worth your time? Basically, I'm saying, what are some of your goals? You know, I just shared with you mine, but what are some of your goals? You know, and they'll say, I need to make, you know, $1,500 a month, or I want to do this, or, you know, you ask them and you listen, okay? And I'll say, awesome. If I can show you a way to make that happen while we run together, is there anything else you need to know before we get started? Boom. I show that I cared. I showed them why I was doing it. I told them to forget about me and just focus on them for a minute. I'm about to do something big with this, regardless of you or whatever, but I'd love to do it with you. Okay. I don't care if you do this with me, but I'd love to do it with you. And I'm not going to go ahead of you. You know, forget it. Do you see an opportunity for yourself? You know, we let our prospects sometimes walk all over us. And this is the spot that I never let my people walk all over me. I'm very blunt. I ask the right questions, but I also give a damn about my people. And if you actually exude the energy that you really care about them and their goals, they will feel that and they will want to be a part of what you're about to do. All right. How about the objection? Let me talk to my spouse first. This is a funny one, right? But this is actually a pretty legitimate objection or question. It really is, because a lot of households make commingled decisions. Some do, some don't, right? So the reason why you're getting this is it's either legit, okay? They really do have to go and talk it over with their spouse, or they just actually don't feel that they can do it, okay? There's really one of the two reasons why you might be getting people telling you this after you present. So basically, what I would suggest every time you get this is to do your best to even handle it before it comes up, okay? So I'll give you an example. I had a meeting to talk to a prospect about my business, and I was doing it over the phone because he was not local. And we had a conversation, and we'd never really talked before. It was more of a cold market prospect. And I got on the phone, and I was, I actually talked about this on my blog. I did a blog about it, and I said, hey, Eric, what's going on? Nice to meet you. And then I said, you know, what has you open to looking at another way of making some income? And so he already knew that we were going to talk business, and I asked him if he kept his income options open. So when I got on the phone with him, I said, what has you open to looking at another source of creating income? And then he ended up telling me, and in his story of his why, it included his wife. And he said, well, you know, Tanya, my wife and I. So automatically I knew he had a wife at that point. And so what I said to Eric at that point, I said, you know, Eric, I can definitely, you know, get some information in front of you to let you know about our company and some of the types of some of the money that you can actually make with us. But before I actually do that, I got to ask you a question. Are you the type of person that when you make a decision like this for your family, is it something that you like to include your wife on, or do you make these kinds of decisions on your own? And he said to me, no, Tanya, I would like to have a conversation with my wife, and we'd probably make the decision together. And I said, awesome. Then what I would like to do is I'd like to schedule an appointment time with you and your wife together to show it to you together. That way I'm there and I can answer any questions that either you or her has. And I think it would be a lot easier for you, because you wouldn't have to explain what you just saw to her. I could actually be there and we can just do it in one shot. How does that sound? So are you guys free later today, both together at 7 o'clock? And so I eliminated it before it even came up. So I asked basically, hey, do you make these decisions together or do you make them on your own? And so then they tell you, and then you'd handle it before it even comes up. And then I would suggest scheduling a time where they can both see the presentation together. It's going to work famously for a lot of different reasons if you can get them both watching that video together, rather than having one spouse try to tell the other spouse about what they just saw in their own words, and the other spouse is like scratching their head going, confused, right? You can take them through the simple process together, okay? So even before it comes up, find out if there's a spouse involved, or a girlfriend or spouse, boyfriend, whatever, and then schedule that when it comes together. Now, if you don't know if they have a spouse, let's say if you meet somebody on the street or whatever, you can do what I did. You know, I said, you know, what has you open to taking a look at alternative income, income ability for your family? And then sometimes they'll talk about their family, but maybe they don't. So then I'll just ask them. I'll just say, you know, by the way, I just have to ask you, are you married or committed? You know, are you married or committed is a good way to say it. And then I'll just say, when it comes to decisions in the family, are you able to make them yourself, or do you like to discuss things together, right? And if you still do a presentation and you find out after they have a spouse, I would always book a time where you can meet both of them together. Okay, so if you still get this objection, you maybe missed a step, and then you forgot to ask them if they have a spouse, and then you get to the end of the presentation and they're like, I love this, but I need to show my spouse. Okay, well, we missed a few steps, but what I would do to avoid a huge mess up is I would say, awesome, okay, it sounds to me, yep, you definitely need to show your spouse. I would like to maybe book an appointment where we can do that all together, just so that I can be there and answer any questions that your wife or your husband might have. How soon do you think that you guys will be together and we can do that? And I would rebook another presentation with the spouse or better half. Okay. This will avoid a lot of mess up, and it will increase the chances. You know, spouses in a couple situation, or, you know, married or either not married, if you include them, they feel included, and it's a good thing. Okay, you'll have a better chance to sponsor them or enroll them because the spouse feels like they were involved. They feel included. All right, so it's a good thing to do that as the person coming in doing the presenting. All right. What about the objection? I do not have the time. Do you ever get people say, this looks good, but I don't have the time to do this. I'm really busy. Oh my gosh, I'm crazy. I don't have any time for anything, right? The reason why you're maybe getting this is because they don't feel that they can do what you've done. Or, you know, you have not presented in a duplicatable way. Maybe they really feel that they don't have the time. Maybe they really do have a busy schedule. So sometimes we need to do a mind shift. You can, you know, handle it before it ever comes up simply by making sure, like I've always said in the beginning, make sure that you're presenting in a way that's very duplicatable, right? And let's still say, okay, you do the presentation and you get this objection. This is what I'll say. I'll say, oh man, or, you know, this is kind of my language. I'm pretty, you know, be like, oh my goodness, or oh man, I appreciate you sharing that with me. How do you mean exactly? All right. And so I'll say, like, how do you mean? They'll say, oh man, I got kids. I got a job. I work 50 hours a week. I work 80 hours a week. I do that. I want to hear, you know, I want to hear them verbalize their busy life. Okay. I want to actually have them hear themselves saying how busy they are and everything that goes along with it. And I'll let them talk for a minute. And then I'll say, oh, geez, now how long do you have to do that for? Okay, complete state change, right? An amateur network marketer will try to be like, oh, it's okay. We can find the time. We can get it. We can get it. No big deal. Oh, you don't really need that much time. This doesn't take too much time, right? A professional will just do a mind shift sometimes on that person and get them to really realize what they're saying. So, you know, I'll just say, oh, geez, how long do you have to do that? And kind of like have a disgusted, kind of like feel sorry kind of connotation tone of that. I'd be like, oh man, that sucks. How long do you have to do that for? And they might not realize that they don't have an exit plan. And now they're looking at an opportunity that could give them that. You know, they might think a lot differently. And they might say, you know, I don't know, I don't really have an exit plan. And then what I'll do sometimes is I'll share a story. You know, I'll use the feel, felt, found method. You know, I know how you feel. I felt the same way before, and here's what I found. So I'll share a story, and I would encourage that if you don't have your own story to share, you could share mine. You could share anybody in your team or your upline. And I'll just say, I know exactly what you mean. You know, I know exactly how you mean. And I'll share my story. When I started in network marketing, I worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. I really didn't have any time either. And that was actually why I looked at this opportunity. Okay. And I'll insert my story and I'll say, look, here's what I found. I didn't need the money. I needed the time freedom, and I didn't have a plan to get unbusy. And I knew I needed to get a little uncomfortable to get comfortable for the rest of my life. And here's now what my life looks like. So I know exactly what you mean when you say you don't have time. But let me ask you a question. Let's say you did have the time. Let's say we could squeeze an extra few hours a week out of your schedule somewhere with my help. Do you see an opportunity here for yourself? Okay. And that's what I'll say. Let's say you did have the time, and let's say it didn't take more than a few hours extra a week with my help. Do you see an opportunity here? And if they say yes, you continue. If they say no, great. Totally appreciate you. If things change and you maybe want to look at a little bit more time freedom later on, let me know. Do you mind if I keep you in the loop? Right? By the way, do you know anybody else that would like to make some extra income from home? Grab a referral. If they say yes, they see an opportunity, but maybe they really just don't know where they're going to find the time, I'll just say, hey, awesome. You know, I'm here to help you. And based on your busy schedule, what's the most that you could put into this? Would you say like 2 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours a week extra? Based on you knowing your schedule most, what do you think you have to spare, right? And then they'll tell you, they'll say, I'll have 3 hours, whatever. And I'll say, okay, with those 3 hours a week, what would you like to see as income on a monthly basis to make this worth it for you? Okay. And they'll say whatever it is, 1500, 1000, 2000, whatever. I'll make sure it's realistic, right? Obviously, you want to make sure if somebody's saying I have 3 hours a week and I want to make $10,000 a month in the next 2 months, we might have to reframe those expectations a little bit, right? But most of the time, if I'm talking to people, they do give me realistic expectations. They'll say, Tanya, I could spare about 3 extra hours a week. I want to make about an extra $1,500. And then, you know, I'll say to them, okay, how long would you like that to take to reach that goal? And they say, well, I'd be good if we did that in the next 6 to 12 months or 24 months. And I'll say, okay, cool. Did you know that that's very realistic? Okay. And then I'll insert a story, right? I'll say, look, that's really realistic. And we have a story, you know, you've got stories in your company. And I'll say, look, you know, we have a guy that we work with, his name's Joe. And, you know, he used to be an anesthesiologist. He worked 24 hours a day pretty much because he was on call and he was very busy. It's a very demanding job. He made a lot of money, but he did not have a lot of time. And he was able to start just by squeezing out 5 extra hours a week. And right now, him and his business partner that he works with inside of this company make well over 7 figures every single year. And they've done that in, you know, a few short years. And so that is a very realistic goal. And I'm willing to help you do that starting today. We'll figure out where you want to be. You've got really realistic goals. Is there anything else that you need to know before I start going to work for you to help you solve that no time issue? Let's rock and roll. Let's do it. Let's get you a little bit less busy so you can enjoy life more and start working on the things that you really want to be working on. You know, I used to be the same way. You know, I level with them a little bit. All right. Find out where they're sitting. Find out, you know, what they're looking at. Let them know that what they see and what they can put in is realistic. If it is, share a story, right? And, you know, you can follow that script. It's exactly how I handle somebody that says I don't have any time. And then I just say, let's get to work. I'm ready to help work for you until we kind of balance the tip the scale the other way where you do have more time. Let's rock and roll. Okay. How about the objection? Looks like a pyramid scam. Anybody get that? I have to be honest, because of the posture that we now have, we don't have this objection that comes up a lot. I hardly have anybody that says this looks like a pyramid scheme. But some people get that out there. And here's the reason why: if you're getting it, you're getting it. Your prospect may have had a bad experience at one point in time, or they may have been exposed to inaccurate information, or they just have bad habits. Hence, they're typically broke. They're not open. You ever notice how the people who are broke all the time have the closest minds? Okay, meaning they're not open to any new concepts, and they believe their world is right and everything that they do in it is the only way to do stuff, right? The people that make a lot of money are those open-minded entrepreneurs who are willing to take risks or willing to go out there, that are willing to actually educate them in certain areas, right? So sometimes it might just be the lack of mindset that your prospect has, and they've heard something over here and they're, you know, putting validity on it and saying, that's a pyramid scam, right? And we're just like, we shake our heads sometimes and we go, geez, do you not know this industry that accounts for billions of dollars in the economy, right? So you can handle this objection before it comes up. At least you can try to. At least it eliminates it a bit. You can use the one that we already talked about where somebody, you know, says, let me do my research objection. You know, we can anticipate and eliminate it by saying in your setup before they watch the presentation, I've been searching and searching and doing a bunch of research on something that I could confidently put my name to that would, you know, insert your why, help me stay home with the kids, help me cut back some hours at work. They're killing me over here. Allow me to take some more vacations with the family. Allow me to live a better quality of life. You can handle it. You can try your best to handle it before it comes up. So you're basically saying, hey, I've done my research. I've searched and searched. This is legit, okay? And I'm putting my name to it. You can do it before it even comes up. But what if it still comes up? The biggest thing that we have to remember is to not be defensive, because that's what they want us to be. And we can do a complete, you know, mind shift by just, you know, giving them what they're not going to be expecting. They're expecting you to rebuttal them, all right? And here's what I do is I just go, I laugh and I go, really? And that's how I handle that objection. So it's funny because that's how I professionally handle that objection. And it works, okay? So I'll laugh, I'll be like, really? And like, are you, like, it's basically saying like, are you dumb? Like, for real? And sometimes, you know, and I'll wait for them to say something and I'll listen. And you know, if they don't give me what I'm looking for, I'll just say, how do you mean by that? Like, what's a pyramid scam, really? And I'll laugh and I'll make it a joke. I'll make light of it. Here's the thing. If you make a joke out of it and it is funny to you and you're lighthearted with it, they're going to be lighthearted with it as well. I was doing a prospecting call today and a gentleman said, how long does it take to get through all of the training to be as good as you, right? Okay, now the answer to that question is irrelevant to them getting started, right? And it's a dumb question. It's so dumb, right? It has nothing to do with whether or not they're going to be successful. And I could go into saying, well, you could do this X amount of training over here, and then we've got this. So it's probably going to be about 8 hours of training or this, and then you got to do this, and then you got to... I've been in the industry for years and years and years, okay? It's going to take a while for somebody to be as good as me if they apply themselves, but that doesn't mean that they aren't going to have even maybe better success than me, because it's irrelevant. And so I said to this gentleman that I was prospecting, I said, you know, let's just call him Joe, for example. I don't want to name names. I said, Joe, it's only probably going to take you 1.5 million hours of training. It's really not that much. And then we laughed about it, okay? And then they said, oh, okay, yeah. And then we kind of had a laugh. And that was done. And we moved on. And it didn't affect the decision of that person getting started at all, okay? So if you're really crazy sometimes and just funny, you will eliminate your objections that way. Your prospects, by asking questions sometimes, are waiting to see. They want you to jump. They're basically saying jump and waiting for you to jump. I don't jump, and I don't think you guys should jump either at all, okay? So have fun with it. You know, is this a pyramid scheme? This looks like a pyramid scheme. Really? Really? Okay, really? And then I'll say, well, how the heck do you meet? How do you heck do you see that, man? You know, and you could go into the corporate pyramid, you know, ladder and explaining that. To be honest, I don't. And I know that it exists. And I know you could probably go down that road with them and explain it, but why? It's not going to matter. Okay. Because this works. Really? How do you mean? And they're saying, well, isn't it the person that gets all the money at the top? And I just say, oh, well, it's not that at all. Okay. That's how I handle that objection. And that's how professionals in our industry will handle that objection. Do you really think that I would put my name to a pyramid scheme? Really? And I'll be like, do you really think a company that's been in business for 9 years is a pyramid scheme and would be allowed to become a pyramid scheme? Really? And I'll laugh sometimes, really. Okay, so yeah, not that at all, right? If the person is completely negative, I just let them go. Okay. I don't want anybody dealing with negative Nancys, and you don't need them in your team anyways. They're not going to be good energy for your team. So if somebody's completely negative, like this is a complete scam, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. I say, perfect. Sounds to me that you may have had a bad experience with something that you haven't gotten over yet. And it doesn't sound like you're a fit for my team. Have an awesome day. Thank you for your time. Do not be afraid to do that. I encourage you to do that if you deal with somebody that is negative and that you do not want to have on your team. No energy goes into those people because they're never going to give good energy back to you and your team. What about the objection? I'm not good at sales. You ever get that? I don't get this one a lot, but some people do. I'm not really good at sales. I don't really think this is going to be for me. I don't know. Why are you getting this objection? Number one is because you maybe came across as salesy yourself, right? And for some reason, they may be doubting that they can do what you're doing. So again, going back into being super duplicatable and not salesy and letting the tools do all the selling for you, you're not doing anything. You're pointing and sharing the tools of your company. How to handle this objection? Okay, here's what I do is I say, oh my goodness, I'm so glad you said that. What I found is that salespeople mess this all up. Okay, and it's kind of the truth. It's funny. You know, I just say, you know, salespeople try to convince people, and we all know that people like to naturally buy things they love, right? And I'll let them say yes on that, right? So I'm always asking questions, getting them engaged in the conversation. I'll say, you know, salespeople mess this all up. They try to convince people, and we all know that people like to naturally buy things they love, right? And they'll say, yeah. And I say, and they probably hate being pushed into a sale, right? And they'll say, yeah. And I'll say, well, awesome. I'm so glad that you can see all we're doing is sharing something awesome that most people like. You know, so I'm glad that you're not into sales. Is there anything you need to know before I, you know, welcome you into the team and we have some fun with this? Right? Welcome to the team. I assume things sometimes. I'm like, they say, hey, I'm not good at sales. I'll be like, awesome. I'm so happy you're not. You know, it's going to be much easier for us. Right? They messed it all up. You know, and then I'll say, welcome to the team. Awesome. You're not in sales. I love it. So have fun with it, right? Let them know it's awesome. I'm glad you're not into sales, not good at sales, right? Okay, how about it? We got over a lot of objections. At least we learned how to handle them both before they come up, and then also if they do come up in your presentation, how to have that posture and everything. We went over what to say when somebody says, I want to think about it or do my research. I don't have the money. It looks good, but it's not for me. Let me see how you do first, or how much money are you making? Let me talk to my spouse. I don't have the time. Looks like a pyramid scheme, and I'm not good at sales. Now, I'll tell you what, those are most of the objections that, you know, we are questions we might get in this industry. There's not really that many. And those are some really powerful ways. I hope you got value out of the ways to get rid of those objections. It's really, you know, even handling them before they come up is the best thing. And then also knowing how to hold your professionalism and posture when they do come up to make your prospect just feel more comfortable about joining you and being that leader that leads them. The biggest thing that I can share with you in closing is don't attract the objections. Do not think about going into a presentation thinking you're going to get objections. Repeat some powerful affirmations to yourself before going into the presentation. I'm so happy and grateful that John is joining my team tonight, and he's really excited to get rocking and rolling with us. Use those affirmations. They are very, very powerful. And I want to help you with any of the other obstacles or silly questions that you might be getting in your business with your prospects. And if you want to take it deeper with me, if you want to, you know, keep the conversation going or have me help you with anything that you might be currently experiencing, not hypothetically experiencing, but currently experiencing in your business, you can pop over to my fan page at facebook.com/TanyaEliza. And like my page, of course, and then you can comment right on my page or send me a message, and I'll do my best to help you with anything that you possibly are experiencing objection handling wise in your business. And I'd really love to extend that help over to you. I love the industry, and I love seeing people have success in our industry, because that holds our industry standard to another level that it needs to be held to. In my true opinion, I believe that. And I hope you got some amazing value out of this audio. And if you did, I'd love it. I'd totally appreciate it if you come over to my fan page on Facebook and you share the value that you've gotten out of it with me, because it always warms my heart to know that my fans and followers are getting value out of the material that they actually absorb from me. And I also want to let you know that if you have gone through the Home Business Survival Guide that I have, it's out there. It's free. You can pick it up right now. It's an 11-page guide on the 7 skills that you have to have in your home business to recruit effortlessly and to build a big team globally fast. Those skills are going to help you immensely, and not only you, but your team that you're building as well. So the biggest thing in that guide that I go over is creative prospecting. It's good to know how to handle the objections, but the one thing we need to have before that even happens is we need to have people to talk to about our business. I've learned some really creative prospecting strategies using social media and using my blog over the years to actually bring people into my world that are really interested in what I have before it even becomes a cold call. It's almost like a warm call where people are reaching out to me and wanting to know about my business. And I talk a little bit about that in the Home Business Survival Guide. And then we dive a little bit deeper. You're going to be getting a couple of emails over the course of a couple of weeks from me that are going to show you some really cool creative prospecting strategies that you can employ into your business. These are some of the things that I've been doing since 2010. And we're at the top of our company as far as, you know, recruiting goes, and winning all these contests and incentives. And obviously, success leaves clues. So if any of that really resonates with you, like I know it will, I'm very excited to share that with you. So make sure that you keep an eye on your email inbox from some emails from me. I share a lot of free training, but the biggest thing that we're going to go into next is that creative prospecting. All right. So if you haven't already gone through the Home Business Survival Guide that you got in your email, please go through it, print it out, keep it beside your desk. You're more than willing to do that. And if you want to share this training, if you want to share the Home Business Survival Guide with anybody and get them even exposed to this training, you can actually share the link homebusinesssurvivalguide.com. So that's homebusinesssurvivalguide.com. And they can get access to some of the training that you've been exposed to. And if you find value in something, I'm a big believer in sharing what you learn and actually blessing and helping more people. So I'd be grateful if you did that, but also your people would probably love you a lot for sharing this with them as well. So I will see you over in your email inbox. Pay attention there. I've got some cool stuff coming down the pipeline over the next little while. And I will also see you over on my Facebook fan page. I appreciate you, and I'm very happy and honored that we are connected. And I look forward to seeing you more and seeing your smiling face on my Facebook fan page. Have an awesome day and go crush those objections and hold better posture in your business. I'm excited to hear your success story. This is Tanya Eliza from TanyaEliza.com. Be blessed, and much success to you and your business.